For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
We are less than a week into spring training. There's overreactions, there's underreactions, what matters and what doesn't. Kind of want to talk a little bit about that today and talk about some early players that are catching my eye that are doing things that matter and what doesn't matter in spring training, because at the end of the day, there is a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of numbers. I mean, you look at spring and you say, oh man, like this guy's performing really well. Doesn't matter. You go to Arizona, the ball's traveling 20, 30 feet further than other places due to the air. So home runs that are hit, these distances that you see, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun things to take away from spring training. We're excited that baseball is back. But what are the actual, like, actionable things that are useful to know for spring training? Well, at this point, most players only have a couple games under their belt, so not much at all. 10 at-bats, maybe, for most. Most pitchers haven't even pitched yet. Also, early on, velocity. I mean, some guys are way down. They're ramping up. A lot of these are ramping up, getting going. Some take longer to ramp up than others. Some guys are out here throwing way harder than others. But there's so much to like look through, try to figure out what's real and what's not. Here's what you need to know. I think that this point in spring, there's not all that much that matters or change opinions. So what I do think matters is mechanical changes. Has a hitter come in with a different stance? Like, are they working on something? That's another thing. There may be a lot of rambling in this podcast. I don't have an outline, just talking about it. But you also think that coaches have players working on specific things. That pitchers may be working on a specific pitch. They may be called to throw a certain pitch in certain places in certain at-bats, just trying to hit spots. They may be working on throwing a changeup in a certain location. So they're going to throw that changeup more often than not. Flip side, you have hitters. They may be working on trying to go to the opposite field. Maybe it's a hitter that struggles to pull. They're working on pulling the ball. We're so early in the spring that there's so many variables that are going on. Has a guy gotten bigger, though? Is all weight good weight? Not necessarily. We've heard a lot of the best shape of their lives out there. A lot of guys, oh, they put on 20 pounds, but does that always matter? Because if you add 20 pounds of muscle, well, are you going to lose strength to, with, are you going to lose, not lose strength, but are you going to lose runtime, you're going to lose the ability to steal bases while gaining strength. There's different trade-offs for actionable things. But I do think that early on, like, what are we looking for? Well, prior to the gate, like, I want to look for pitch mix changes. I want to look for guys with new pitches because I think that does matter. If you find players that have added pitches, okay, then all of a sudden we're looking at a totally different type of arm. So first, like, I think about Clay Holmes. So the Mets signed Clay Holmes. He's going to be a starter after being a reliever with the Yankees. And then it's like, okay, well, does he have the arsenal to do it? Well, I mean, naturally, he added pitches. He added a cutter, he added a four-seam, and he added a kick change. And the results were really, really, really good. I think that Clay Holmes is moving up my board pretty significantly. I'm toying with where to draft him in the tout Wars draft and hold league, and I'm trying to figure out where in the world I should actually take him. I'm scared he's going to go earlier than I'd be comfortable taking him, but I also really believe in this arsenal. I believe in the changes. Like, his pitch data was nasty. Let me pull up the data on the pitch because it's so good. And I think that he has a chance to like really take off here. So we're looking at Clay Holmes. Like, this is obviously a very small sample, still threw a sinker the most, but had a sweeper, slider, do a four seam, but he also added a cutter and the kick change. Those pitches I think are going to play very, very well. The changeup, nasty. You know, I think that you look at the results from that, and I think that you'd all of a sudden now have a five pitch mix where it's really, really good. Now he's got a platoon neutralizer. He's going to miss more bats, in my opinion. That was the question. Could Clay Holmes miss bats with his present arsenal as a reliever? But he's made those changes. So that's obviously something to watch out for. So pitch mix changes are huge. Casey Mize added a sweeper. Look at that. Okay, like that seems pretty notable. Mize is a fastball splitter predominantly. When the splitter's not working, what does he go to? And so you have to think about that. And now he's got the added sweeper in there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I believe in the ability to break out for Clay or for Casey Mize, but I do think that at least he's trying something to see what works. Other guys, David Festa added a sinker. Now, when I look at this, Festa's sinker still had a lot of carry. That is worth noting too. His sinker had like 16 inches of IVB. The four seam had like 18 inches of IVB. So it's not a lot of separation, but it does run a lot. So it's more like a running fastball compared to his four seam. His four seam doesn't run all that much. Christopher Sanchez added a new pitch. He's also throwing 98 as I'm recording this. He's pitching right now at a cutter, and he's seen velo jump. Okay, like that's pretty notable. Jackson Job, pitching prospect for the Tigers, added a sinker and a curveball to an already dominant arsenal. Max Meyer apparently added a sweeper and a sinker. Meyer was somebody that I was kind of ready to say he's a bullpen guy, but now I want to see what he looks like. There's a lot of guys that have added pitches, and I think that that's notable. Not all pitch, and that's also worth noting, not all new pitches work. You're going to have some guys that they experiment with new pitches and they just can't effectively throw them. They scrap them. Doesn't always stick. But there are lists out there. I think Lance Brozdowski has a good running list on his Substack, Lance Pitcher Notes. So he's been tracking all of those new pitch changes. I've tried to highlight some of them in my spring training recap. So looking at those is important.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
I also think when we look at like velocity jumps, like I wrote about a couple Royals pitching prospects today that saw pretty notable jumps. Luinder Avila, you know, he previously set 93-95 with a sinker. He set 96 on Monday and topped at 98.5. Those are all like new maxes. Robbie Snelling, he added some velo. That's notable. Steven Zoback, the other Royal I referred to, he had some more velo as well. He was topping 97, averaging 95 after sitting more 92-95 previously. So those things are kind of interesting to see. I mentioned it's early. They're also throwing short innings, so we have to be careful and say, okay, like when they build up to five innings compared to two, like is the velocity still there? So it's not making the assumption too early. I would say you monitor the situations and not jump to conclusions. There's going to be guys that you're going to say, oh man, these guys that hit too many ground balls are all of a sudden lifting the ball now. Well, it's a small sample. Cabrian Hayes does it every spring. Cabrian Hayes looks like he's going to break out and start lifting the ball, and then he goes right back to his ground ball ways. You have new max EVs. Those are worth paying attention to, I would say. Like, look at those, and if somebody gets a new high max EV, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I'm kind of buying it. I'm also looking for what coaches and GMs are saying about players. Like, there's a lot of value in there. When Toronto Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins calls out Alan Rodon and says he wants to see a big spring for him because he really believes in this profile, my ears perk up because that tells me that they're interested and Alan Roden all of a sudden potentially breaking camp with his team. Dalton Varsho's out. They've got a kind of a mess in that outfield right now. Who fits? So listening to those things, and I try to put out notes every day on Twitter, just posting like a long list of notes. It's not like performance notes. I write those in the article and write detailed things every day at the Dynasty Dugout, but like notes about what people are saying, what are the injuries, like what things are notable. So yeah, watch out for those things. Other pitchers that you talk about jumps or things of note, like Zebby Matthews, he topped at 97.1 last year. He threw over 97 seven times in two scoreless innings. So that's obviously worth looking at. The average fastball velocity was up nearly 2 miles an hour. So that's a huge jump there with Zebby. He's obviously got elite command control. He just has to show that he can locate on the edges and not over the heart of the plate. Landon Roop was one that you really caught my eye. His sinker averaged nearly 20 inches of horizontal, set near 95, 3,000 RPM on the curveball with 18 inches of sweep and negative 8 IVB. Good changeup with depth and fade. He looked good. I thought the results were really good on Landon Roop. Tristan McKenzie's velocity was up. He averaged 94, topped at 95.4. He has hit that mark just twice in the last 2 years. And the highest average velo of his career was 2020, which was 92.8. He averaged 94. McKenzie's battling for a spot, but like those are things I'm looking at. So I would say right now, I'm recording this February the 25th, 2025. Most teams have played a handful of spring training games at best. I would say don't overreact, take things in stride, and look for actionable things. Like, is a player making a stance change? Like, Spencer Jones made a stance change. Does it matter? I don't know. He's tinkered with his stance and swing so much. I don't know if it really matters. We'll see. It's a long process. If we get to mid to late March, pitchers have built up innings and they're still holding this new increased velo. Yeah, that's huge. Right now, I would say the new pitches are probably the most important thing, especially for guys like Clay Holmes, who he had an arsenal that worked a certain way as a reliever, but now he's going to have to churn through lineups several times. Now, all of a sudden, like, he has the arsenal to do it. You look at other guys that have made pitch mix changes. How do they fit? How does it work? To be determined. Well, when guys are adding three pitches, it's kind of absurd. Velo jumps, do they sustain? It's too early to say. Hitters, there's not much to take away from at this point. I like watching and seeing, like, what kind of poise do guys have? Like, these prospects in Major League camp, like, what do their poise look like? They're not facing great pitchers often. But, like, Lazaro Montes, like, massive home run off the batter's eye yesterday. That's awesome. Like, he walked twice. That's even more actionable because I thought he worked good at bats. Like, that's huge. We know Montes has the power, but I see a player that was working at bats. And I know the pitching isn't always great. Like, most of your big guys are throwing shorter samples. But, you know, at the end of the day, I would say, like, just pay attention to the news. I'm putting out notes every day. You can follow on Twitter, Chris Click MLB. I'm writing up the player performance and not even just the performance. Like, I don't care about the stat line. I care about the underlying stuff. The changes that the hitters made, pitchers made, and I'm putting those things like in the articles. And that's what I think is the most important, those actionable takeaways that can actually benefit you. So, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, look for the little things. Don't look at the surface numbers. If you think it matters, just go look previous years, like best spring training performance. It doesn't matter. The surface numbers don't matter at all. So spring training's about guys bettering themselves, getting back to full speed, but also working on new things or working on existing things they need to work on. So knowing what they're working on, knowing what they're trying to do, I think really helps. And I try to outline a lot of that in my articles. So that's what I'm looking for in spring training. Here, 5 days in, those are just some of the things that I've noted so far. Hit on a couple players, but yeah, that'll be it. Thanks for tuning in. Short episode, but those are actionable takeaways from spring training. I will do a more in-depth show as well, talking about like prospects, what we're seeing. I'll be in Florida in a few weeks. So I'll be on the backfields getting looks at prospects, giving you the news of what's going on in the backfields and all the actionable things from camp. So yeah, be sure to tune in, sub to the Dynasty Dugout, sub to the YouTube channel. I'll be putting out stuff every day, but thank you for being here. Hope you have a great day.
is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99-foot-long deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.